Power Play. Here's your host, C. Williams.
Hitting the streets of Vegas hard. 3 o'clock, standing tall, feeling good here on a Monday. Glad you could join us post St. Patty's Day, huh? Did you get your fill? Were you drunk on the strip? God. Plenty to get to today. Coming up, a few minutes from now, we're going to go over to the Suncoast. The Racing Sportsbook Director over there, Mike Lewis, standing by. We're going to go over the games. Of course, you got the first round playing games coming up in the NC2A tournament. We'll talk about that. Futures, props, things of that nature. And then we have to do this. When they gone, they gone. But I don't think he had a fair shot. 3 years, 500 record, 17-14 this year. Mark Menzies cut down by UNLV. Mark Anderson's going to be our special guest. And we'll get him at the bottom of the hour. He's with the Review Journal, the insider for UNLV Hoops. All right. All that in front of us. We'll get to the hit list in a moment. How are you, brother?
I'm good. I survived St. Patty's Day on the strip. Doing hockey.
You had the game last night, huh?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But so it was crazy in the arena. I mean, okay, the loudness now the energy at this point anyway, because we're almost playoffs. You know, it's coming anyway. It's starting to be louder and louder.
All right, wait, let me jump in, okay? By the way, it's Ari. He's got the dishes, ones and twos. Mike, you, generally speaking, we'd be either up on my Facebook Live at Seat Williams or LVSportsNetwork.com on the company's website, Facebook. However, he is in Mississippi. The family's down there doing some family stuff. So we're not on camera today, unfortunately. I'm looking good. You know, I know that line is deep for me, dog. But, you know, anyways, you being on the strip with the team, I believe it was 6-3 they took down Edmonton.
Yes, sir.
So what is the crowd and the ambiance and atmosphere like now compared to a month ago? You've been working the show down there for our guys that are doing it on Fox Sports Radio, 1340, that being Ryan and Ballpark, or Frank Harnish. Nevertheless, what's it like now moving forward to where we are today with the energy of the crowd at T-Mobile as opposed to where it was a month ago, beginning of the season, on and on?
It's getting there. Like, it's starting to, a lot of the games in the last few weeks have reminded us of the playoff games last year, which is a whole nother level of energy. I mean, again, you have to be down there to really feel it. But, yeah, what we endured during the regular season, and then when it's the playoffs, it was just so loud, so much energy. Everybody's just – it's intense. So just starting to kind of get back to – I think in the beginning of the season, it wasn't – we weren't off to a great start. It was a question whether they would even make the playoffs. And, you know, there was some injuries and the Nate Schmidt thing and all these different things. So, you know, it's a fickle fan base. So I think now that things – really since Stone's been in there – that night, even I can't. Every home they had like an 8-game home stretch from that point,
right,
with one away game in between. And I feel like since that point, the energy has just been up to the
brim. I'll say this about hockey, and I'm not your hockey fan. I'm a fan of the Golden Knights, okay? But I can't sit here and dissect and tell you about hockey games, this and that. I do bet it. However, the most exciting sporting event I've ever been to in my life was at the Saddle Dome in Calgary. Okay, it was a playoff game between Vancouver and Calgary back in 1989. Wow. I was play-by-play for the Las Vegas Silver Streaks, our WBO pro basketball team. So we were on a road trip. We were there, got tickets, went to the game. And to this day, I've never felt that much electricity at any sporting event, boxing matches, UFC, anything ever. And the home team, Calgary Flames, won that game 4-3. And that was back in 89. And I'll never forget the energy that was in that arena at the Saddle Dome. They got 20,000 standing room only at that bad boy. North! And it was something else.
We got to get you to a playoff game then.
I may make one.
I don't know if it'll rival. I will tell you this. Like, Edmonton was there last night. I've spoke to probably a handful of random fans from various, you know, places in Canada, and they are amazed by the arena. I had someone tell me last night that this is the, you know, the craziest arena they've ever seen. So that's pretty good coming from Canada.
Let's jump on the hit list, dog.
Let's do it.
All right, let's get you started. NFL cut loose last week. How did your team do? Did your team land the right quarterback and or gain the talent at key positions. For example, we'll just jump on the QBs real quick. Flacco, as you know, he's 34 years of age. Lamar Jackson is now the man doing it in Baltimore. So he goes to the Broncos. Flacco to the Broncos, 12 TDs, 6 picks. How much does he have left? Cannon for an arm, maybe 3 years at best, 2,400 yards last year, 2,500. I don't know. We'll see how that works out. Jacksonville cut Bortles, signed Nick Foles. Foles for a four-year, $88 million with a $102 million max value. He's 30. We'll find out once he gets a starting job here again. Can he do it as a starter? He tried it in Philly behind Michael Vick. Once Vick was pulled, didn't work. But as a dude coming off the bench, he's been Mr. Clutch. I think it's all good with him. I like him with the Jags. Chargers picked up Tyrod Taylor. He's 30. He's going to be a backup to Rivers. Low insurance policy, 1 year, $14 million. 12 of it guaranteed. I think that's a great deal when you get 12 guaranteed of $14 million. This one right here makes you scratch your head. The Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick. They get him from the Buccaneers, all right? He's 36, 17 touchdowns, 12 picks behind Winston down there, 2,400 yards. Do you really believe this guy is better than Tannehill, who you had? Okay, he's got a two-year, $11 million deal. The Titans, they get Tannehill to back up Marcus Mariota, who's an injury-prone guy. He was 17-9 for about 2,000 yards in Miami, but he was in and out with some injuries. I wish the Chargers had got him in place of Taylor. I think Tannehill still got quite a bit left. And then, of course, Odell Beckham going to Cleveland, Antonio Brown. We could go on and on with that stuff, but we'll just sit and rest for a while and see what goes on. Also, all right, we're going to go locally. Both good and bad things happen. Rocking our casinos, or near the Strip or on the Strip, and downtown. Let's start with, oh, man, Friday night, dumb dude with a gun tried to snatch and grab at the Bellagio Casino cage. Okay, he went in and robbed him. The place was packed. This was Friday night. So four officers hit the scene. He tried to jack a car from valet. If you're going to pull a job, at least have a plan how you're going to escape. Dumb dude then shot one officer in the chest. Fortunately, the bulletproof vest was there, saved his life. And then the second officer returned fire and stitched him up. Dumb fool, he gone. Okay, yesterday morning at the El Cortez, about 1:44, four folk in an isolated incident shot each other up. Three had non-life-threatening injuries, one in critical condition. The motive has yet to be announced. And on the good foot, this is major for St. Paddy's Day, downtown, around the way from El Cortez Hotel at Plaza Hotel. A guest playing slots from Hawaii, playing Monopoly Millionaire, won $1 million. That's major.
Are you talking about the slot machine one?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Because you know I've played that before in my day. Yeah, I won $250 off one of them once.
$250 or $2,500?
No, $250, which is cool. It's real nice, actually, but it ain't no million. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, boy. Get out of town, buddy. All right, let's go to the phone lines right now. He is the man doing his thing over at the Suncoast. He's a Director of Racing Sports, Mike Lewis. Mike, how are you, brother?
Doing good, Pete. How you doing?
Doing well. You know, I was over there this morning, picked up some sheets, some information, checked the board, and we're ready to go, brother. I know you're excited, licking your chops and all, and we start this thing off, even though we have some other contests going on in college basketball right now, it really gets underway with the play-in games in round one with Fairleigh Dickinson against Prairie View AM, also Belmont and Temple. Kind of tell us those numbers on the board right now and what's going on as far as the public and the sharps, if anything, yet.
Yeah, not a whole lot yet, especially on them games. A little action early on Farley Dickinson. It went from opened at one, went up to 1.5. Belmont's still 3.5. That's where we opened it at. So not a whole lot of early action on that. I think a lot more people are just looking at the main tournament starting Thursday. But I'm sure a lot of action will be coming in on those games before tip off tomorrow.
Belmont is 3-155 against Temple. You mentioned that. Now coming up Wednesday, a couple of more matchups. You've got North Carolina Central against North Dakota State. I believe State is 5.5, 135. ASU, it's Arizona State against St. John's. And St. John's here, an underdog. Arizona State won. The total there, I believe, 151.5. Tell us about those matchups.
Yeah, Arizona State is one. And, you know, Bobby Hurley coaching Arizona State. If they get by St. John's, would be going against his old team in Buffalo. So that's a little storyline with that game. Good to see Bobby Hurley and Chris Mullen going at it on the benches. It should be an interesting matchup.
That should be fun. Now, before we get to the ones, the twos, and any other matchups and numbers, by the way, when are the numbers for the entire tournament going to squash the board? Because I know you have to have room for the games coming up today, the NIT, the other games that are going to be bet on. When are, actually is the first one going up there for Thursday's matchups?
We have the numbers up already for Thursday's games. We have Thursday and Friday numbers already up there.
Okay. See, I walked in, didn't see them. I must have been looking at the different side of the board. But let's start, let's back up a little bit from the excitement yesterday. Now, I got to tell you something. I was very impressed and on the wrong side of Yale and Harvard. I'm thinking, it's a championship game. They're going to be a little tight. Total was 144. I said, I'm going to hit this under. 97-85, Yale squashing Harvard. And Yale, let's face it, I mean, we don't think much of them. They made a splash a couple of years ago, but this right here is a team that can put some points up, and they do it often, and they do it well.
Yeah, Yale plays one way, and that's to shoot the ball. And they do it well, and when they are draining their threes, they're a hard team to beat. You know, Harvard's more of that defensive team, and when Yale starts hitting shots, it definitely turns into Yale's favorite. They have a very, very good offensive team, and they're a team that could pull an upset if their threes are going. But I guess you probably say that about almost any team in this tournament. But that's how Yale has to play. They have to get lots of shots up. Not a great defensive team, but if they're stroking it, they can put fear in a lot of teams.
And they like to go up and down. They're playing LSU. LSU is a big number. They're 7.5. They got a high total, too, of 160. Some places 159.5. Of course, the situation with LSU and the player that, well, the coach, the situation where the probe and the investigation, the coach gets suspended. We don't know what his future is going to be like, the player as well. We don't know what's going to happen with their season or as long as that kid was a part of the program. So is that a distraction that may give some incentive for bettors out there to say, you know what, I'm getting 7.5, 8 points? We saw what they did, even though it was a smaller level. It's not the SEC. Is that a reason why you may want to take the points here?
That could be. It could be a major thing to look at. You know, with LSU going out early in the SEC tournament, does it give enough time between then and Thursday for them to put all the distractions behind them and get on the page with their interim coach and get things straightened out? I mean, this team is a team that only lost 5 games all season, so they are a very good team. But, you know, if they're stepping out on the court with all that still over their head, Yale can give them a run for their money.
As Mike Lewis, he is the director of Racing Sports at the Suncoast Hotel and Casino here on the show, Power Play. Mike, some of the other games that are interesting, a lot of hype coming up with the matchup between Auburn and New Mexico State. Of course, Auburn, I mean, I can't believe the way they blew their foals out getting to the championship game in their conference and losing eventually. But New Mexico State is another team like Yale that loves to put the ball up and they can make buckets.
Yeah, and, you know, they have a winning pedigree. I mean, this team's always winning 22, 23, 24 games every year. So they do have that. And this year they really blew it out of the box with only losing 4 games this year. Auburn, it's one of them teams that, you know, you catch fire at the end of the year and you catch fire in your conference tournament. And, you know, they play in the SEC and, you know, they have some nice stats. They really do. I think if they can maintain that momentum that they had this past weekend and then early or late last week, they're a very good team. It's going to be interesting to see. That's the one thing, you get these teams like New Mexico State. They put up some great numbers, but you always have to look at that strength of schedule, and you you realize that Auburn's played against some big boys, and New Mexico State hasn't been in that type of grind with them type of teams yet.
And let me correct myself. I said Auburn lost. They blew out Tennessee in that ballgame. They hammered them in the first half and then just drove them to the ground by 20, scoring 84 points in that ballgame. So impressive. And then you look at this matchup. Auburn's, what, 6.5-point favorites, 143. That seems like a pretty low total with the firepower they have as far as making buckets.
Yeah, they can. It's going to be interesting to see what New Mexico State can do against Auburn's defense. I mean, they're a physical team and an athletic team. So it's going to be interesting to see how New Mexico State reacts against one of them type of teams. They haven't really faced that type of team this year. So it's a major step up for New Mexico State. They have the pedigree, the winning pedigree. They know how to win. They've been doing it for quite a while. But now they have to take on one of the power conference teams that just walked through the SEC tournament as champs.
Mike, I'll let you look at some matchups and kind of tell us what some key matchups are, maybe some public money or some sharps money already, and the way you think some things will go as far as some of these games.
Well, you know, I just look at the games that you know are going to get good two-way action, and I guess you just start – you start with Thursday's games. I think one of the marquee games, is going to be Murray State and Marquette. Two of the best guards in all of basketball going head-to-head. Murray State, you know, we've seen them before in the tournament that, you know, they played the Cinderella role before going against Marquette. I think that's going to be a great, great matchup. And especially if you'd like to watch a couple guys that are fast-tracked onto the NBA scene here in another year. That's to me, a must-watch for a Thursday game. Another game would be Seton Hall and Wolford. A lot of hype going on Wolford. Very good team, and Wolford's actually favorite, taking on a Big East team. So can they handle a team out of the Big East? 3-point favorite, so, you know, the Vegas thinks that they're the better team, higher seed, and I think that's going to be a really good game. And, of course, how about this for a little storyline in the NCAA tournament? Rick Pitino's son coaching going up against his dad's old team, Louisville.
Right.
I think the NCAA they always have a couple of these hidden storyline games in the tournament. It seems like, and that's their hidden storyline this year.
I'm going to say CBS said, "Hey, you got to give us this matchup here, Slick Rick and Rick Jr., former team. You know, a son. Yeah, that's going to be a fun one to watch." And back to the games that you mentioned, Wolford, of course, they jumped into the top 25 and stayed there. And so they're a staple. Listen, this team right here, certain teams that have a chip on their shoulder, you know, from the non-major conferences, they want to go in there and basically solidify, hey, we belong. And then Jay Morant, you mentioned him with Murray State and the Racers, one of the prominent players. Dude is slender, but we see what happens with guys when they're slender, like Kevin Durant. They can still ball if they make buckets. This dude is off the chain as far as ability. He can, what is his vertical? It's probably something like 43 to 44 inches.
And yeah, he can jump out of the gym, and he's not going to have to wait too long the night of the NBA draft to hear his name being called either. He's a dynamic player, and it should be a really good matchup going against a Marquette.
Okay, let's find out what you have as far as over there at the Suncoast Racing Sportsbook. Props. Do you have anything going on with the ones, Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, North Carolina, or
we'll be putting them up shortly. We're going to be putting up how many one seeds advance to the Final Four. You'll have what conferences are going to actually win the whole thing. What the winner, what conference they come out of. We'll have various props, and we're getting ready to hang up the region prices. We already have the prices to win the whole thing up, and we'll have them all up here very shortly.
If you have that information as far as the futures on who's going to win it all, if you have it in front of you, can you drop a couple on us?
Yeah, well, Duke, of course, is the favorite, 2-1. And as long as Zion's playing, they deserve to be the odds-on favorite. You got Gonzaga at 9-2 with Virginia 5-1 and Carolina at 6-1 and Kentucky 10-1, Tennessee 12-1. A couple big, Michigan State with the win the Big Ten yesterday, they're at 10-1. So them are your favorites, and they're the highest seeds, the ones and twos. And We'll see how it all plays out, and it's going to be it's going to be interesting.
Director of Race and Sports over at the Suncoast Hotel and Casino, Mike Lewis. We have him on here quite often. He does well, and that's one of my hubs when I you know, every time you walk through, it's early in the morning. You're like, okay, there he is again in his spot.
There's seat.
You know, you're going to have to get me a designated seat, okay?
Hey, you don't have to worry about that.
Because I'm in there all the time, man. That's my spot. It's nice and quiet. I you know, and it's funny because I'm old school. I'm an OG. I still have to go in person, sit down, pick the papers up, look at results from yesterday again, review that, check the board and have the papers in front of me. I'm looking at the board back and forth occasionally. Somebody will come through. I'll chat with them. I'm sitting there, got my spot. I'll be in there. I won't even time check. You know, I'm just so comfortable doing it. But you still have that phone app, right, for those that want to go new school. Tell us about that.
Definitely. And, you know, this time of year, especially ones that can't get out of work on Thursday or Friday and games start at 9 a.m., phone app's a must. Sportsbook right in your own hands and with all the in-play options it gives you, you know, it's a must to have a phone app, especially this time of year with March Madness.
Are you going to have any in-game wagering on these games?
We will have in-game wagering. We have in-play wagering on all the games with the app also.
All right. Also, parties. What do you have set up as far as coming up? What location of the facility as well?
Well, of course, our Race and Sportsbook Lounge is right next to us, right behind us, and you know, 36 TVs in there, and they'll all have the tournament games. And then, of course, our sports bar, the game, will be open, and you know, they have 30-plus TVs right there. Perfect place to watch any sporting event. It's all right in front of you. It's a beautiful place to watch any sporting event. March Madness is nothing quite like it.
You have a long shot yourself?
You know, a team that I'm interested in, if you just look through the brackets and the way things are, you know what? If I'm Gonzaga, I think I'm a little worried playing in the regional in the Sweet 16 against Florida State.
Okay.
I think if Florida State gets there, I mean, Florida State, you talk about battle-tested. I mean, they finished fourth behind Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina, but they've beaten them all. And, you know, they're not going to be afraid of anybody and playing real well right now. And, you know, one thing, you know, you and I have talked before, I think Gonzaga's got a great club, but when you haven't played a meaningful top 10, top 15 team since the since December, it could come back and haunt you in a tournament like this.
Perhaps no fireworks from the team from the north in our state. What do you think?
You know what? I just, that was the one thing that, you know, I enjoy now how college football does it. They don't put their actual computer rankings out until you get through about half the season. And, you know, when the seedings came out and I saw Nevada was seeded one spot higher than Utah State, that just, you know, they tie for the conference, but Utah State wins the tournament. I know Nevada had they were ranked early on. They definitely don't look like they were the better team out of Utah State. I'm not sure if Nevada gets by Florida. I mean, Florida, once again, SEC team tested. They're a tough, tough defensive team. If Florida can make their shots, I'm not sure if Nevada gets by day one.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. The team I took, and look, I mean, I know it's very difficult and it's very unlikely because you really don't have teams come repeat anymore as far as in college basketball. Obviously, in the NFL, no one repeats. And baseball, we don't see it. Or the NBA, we're going to see it because of a dynasty. But I took Villanova. I got them at 15-1. I think that's a pretty good piece. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Jay Wright's team, but the program's always firm. There's never any question marks. He generally has a pretty good core of guards. So we'll see if I'm still alive in a week, right?
Yeah, they got the pedigree. They did lose a lot, but they got a lot coming back, a lot of young kids. If they were going to have a down year, this would be the year. But they do have that pedigree. They have guys that have been there and done it before. But just looking at their matchups, boy, if they do get there, I'll tell you what, see, they're the one team that's going to earn it. They're going to have to, you get by St. Mary's, which, they should. They play a tough Purdue team. They get by them, they'd have to go against Tennessee. Right. They get by them, then they could have to go maybe against number one Virginia. Hey, if Villanova gets there, Villanova is going to earn getting it there. But you know what? Championship pedigree teams and a coach that isn't going to be getting out coached on the bench.
That's true. Also, what do you see? You mentioned Virginia, number two overall seed, number one seed in that region, the South. Can the Cavaliers, with their style of play, and we generally think of down the stretch in these games, players are going to be tired. You're playing games every other day now. You came off your tournament the week before where you played two at least consecutive, some three games in a row to get the championship. So now you're playing more. And, you know, also it depends on where you're at. Is there any elevation involved? Virginia's a team that likes to milk the clock. They slow it down, and they play defense. Can that team and that brand get the crown? Remember last year they fluked out in the first round.
Yeah, the one thing that I think about Virginia, their offense is much better than it was last year. This is a team that I think they can. I mean, they only lost three games all year. I think if they get, the first game should, they have to learn from last year. You got to win your first game going against Gardner-Webb. Let's say they get by that. That you put what happened last year out of your mind then. You know what? We're on to the next game. The next game they could be playing possibly in Oklahoma. They only won 19 games this year. Definitely the better team. I think all it takes for Virginia is to win a game or maybe two games. Get that taste out of last year. Get it out of your mind. And realize what you are this year. You're a team that won 29-3 in the ACC. And if they can do that, I think Virginia will be fine.
He's Mike Lewis, Director of Race and Sports over at the Suncoast Hotel and Casino. Mike, let the folks know your handle, where they can find you.
On Twitter, it's Vegas Lou, L-E-W. And of course, here at the Suncoast, most days. And I'm just looking forward to the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, really, a lot of great times in the sports book. But to be number one is the month of March. It's fantastic.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Thursday and also tomorrow morning, I'll be there in my spot. Tell your ticket writers to take it easy on me.
Oh, I will. I'll let them know to try to write you some winners.
Okay, brother. Thanks, Mike.
All right, see.
You got it. Mike Lewis, good guy. That's my hub. I'm there. I kick it. The station, that's Palace Station. I'm over there. They called it Little Rock. Do a little damage. Actually, the damage is being done to me because I've been on a very cold streak the last 2 weeks. Maybe this is my time. It's college hoops. It's March Madness. Maybe I could get my groove on here. We'll see what happens here. Look, this is a time, like for me, I'm a recreational player. I'm not Dave Koken, okay? I'm not Scott Spritzer or Ted Savransky, Fezzik, or any of these guys. You know, they're bona fide handicappers. They're for real, and they make a living at doing this, handicapping. I don't. I'm a player. I'm a small-time regular Joe that wants to win. If you're that, which I am, this is the time of year you put some parlays together. You string them. String three-teamers together. String together four-teamers. But don't go over your budget. Just have fun with it. Don't get too uptight about it, all right? Because then it becomes pretty vile and pretty toxic because you have no money, right? So kind of chill. Have a good time. By the way, I was happy to see my all-time favorite coach, Lon Kruger, getting a bid. And you heard Mike Lewis mention there as Oklahoma's going to be taking on Ole Miss. Ole Miss, the team, it's not easy to get by. They got some pretty good guards. So I text him. I waited for a while to let the air clear. And I text him and say, hey, congrats, enjoy it. You deserve it. And he hollered back at me, "Seat, always good to hear from you." I would have had him on, but the one-hour show, he's kind of busy, so we couldn't get him on. But quick story about Lon Kruger before we break out here and get Mark Anderson on with UNLV. And that's a good segue. We're talking about the Rebels. When Lon Kruger, we're going to break after this, by the way, before we get our next guest on. When Lon Kruger was a coach, he was the first coach since Tarkanian where I really got back into the program. And I'll never forget, it was MLK Day. It's Martin Luther King Day. And we were leaving here, going to see the Lakers play on that day. I believe it was 06, about 12 years ago, 13 years ago now. And I didn't end up making the trip. And it was MLK Day, and I want to do something today. I hadn't been to a Rebel practice at that time. And I went across and went inside and parked in front of the stadium, in front of the arena. And the players were coming out of practice. And I saw them. I'm like, what are you guys doing right now? Well, we're weightlifting, but we're about to practice in, I think it was about 20 minutes. So that was the first Rebel practice I went to that year. It was MLK Day. And I didn't miss any other practices or any game through the whole tenure of Lon Kruger. And then it carried over from that point. And Dave Rice, you know, but I kind of pulled away, got other things going on in life. But Lon Kruger actually let me speak to the seniors on senior day that year. I'll never forget that. That was a gratifying moment for me. Here I am, just a media guy, but I was kind of like an insider, and the players were comfortable with me. And he said, would you like to speak to the players? It was senior day. I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool. He says, keep it short. Their attention span, you know, the millennials. So I had my piece, and they won the game. So, yes, they beat Air Force. Wow. Anyway, all right. Across the street, Mark Anderson, UNLV insider for the RJ on Power Play.
Symmetry Medical Spa wants you to laugh, love, and live again. How, you ask? Symmetry Medical Spa is offering FemTouch. FemTouch is a medical, non-invasive urinary incontinence procedure that will control bladder leakage and tighten the vaginal wall. It only takes 2 to 3 treatments and only 5 minutes of your time in our office. Symmetry Medical Spa always offers free consultations, and for a limited time, you can receive $1,000 off. Easy financing. Lands are available. Call now, 702-749-5555. And ask about their free Botox special. Se habla español.
For the best Southern fix-it and soul food in town, you gotta hit up TC's Rib Crib. 3655 South Durango, number 18. They have the best spare ribs in town. Fried chicken? Been there, done that. Check out their award-winning catfish, also the candied yams, their collard greens. Kids eat free on Monday. TC Rib Crib. Give them a call at 702-451-RIBS. 702-451-7427. TC Rib Crib, the best soul food in Vegas.
If you need service for your vehicle, there are only two places that make it extremely convenient for you. Visit Busy Boots Automotive at Durango and Flamingo, or Zip Zap Auto at Durango and Cheyenne. They provide free diagnosis and free towing with repairs, plus free shuttle service, Wi-Fi, gourmet coffee, and much more. No appointment needed. Open 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. On your first visit, get 10% off up to $50. At your convenience, visit Busy Boots Automotive on Durango and Flamingo, or Zip Zap Auto on Durango and Cheyenne.
Hey, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Henderson, Nevada. A computer can be the best holiday gift imaginable. It can bring such joy and fluffiness. Buying any other brand of computer than a PC Laptops computer can be painful. Can you imagine calling Chumbawamba and being placed on hold for forever? Finally, when someone in Chumbawamba answers, only to be told your on-site extended warranty is the delivery guy picking up your computer and then having to wait 8 weeks for them to tell you that your software problem isn't covered by the warranty? You end up paying a huge bill, and on top of it, you get your computer back and all your data is erased. That's brain damage. Avoid the pain and feel the love this holiday season. To make it impossible to resist, we're doing 12-month special financing on any PC Laptops desktop or laptop computer. Have I lost my mind? Call us at 1-877-596-7283 for details, or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com, where we love you!
Symmetry Medical Spa wants you to have the big, luscious lips you have always dreamed about. In just 20 minutes, you can have the lips you always desired, and for a limited time, when you buy one filler, you get Botox for free. Yes, that's right. No gimmicks, no fine print. Buy one filler and get free Botox. Get the lips to match your beautiful body and watch the heads turn. Call now, 702-749-7575 to schedule your appointment, or visit SymmetryMedicalSpa.com. Symmetry Medical Spa. 749-7575.
Se habla español. Noah Robotham hasn't stopped playing. And now the Rebels, are they going to foul? Boy, they knock it away from Watson. He rolls it finally to McDaniels. The referees aren't calling any fouls.
No,
and there's under 10 to go, and now the Rebels call off the dogs.
They put the whistles away.
They put the whistles away, and the Aztecs will beat the Rebels for the third time this year. Final score 63-55, and the Rebels' season comes to an end.
Back on the streets of Vegas, 3:35 here on a Monday, feeling good. Seed Williams, Ari, he's scratching up the ones and twos. Going now to our phone line for our good friend. He is the insider for the Review Journal for the Runner Rebel basketball program. He is Mark Anderson. Mark, how are you, brother?
I'm fighting a cold, Seed, but otherwise doing okay.
All right. You know, when the news came down, I was a bit surprised about Marvin Menzies getting axed out. Team was seemed like improving. A lot of young players, 17-14, 48-48 overall as a career. The way he came in behind Bird, who was hired, and then Cronin, who was basically using us as a ploy to get more money at Cincinnati. Then Chris Bird is hired. Then by that time, you can't recruit until a certain time. He basically, hands down, had nowhere to win his first year. Last year did better. This year, I think, did a good job of recruiting. And I'm reading your story here from a player who said, we felt bad. We felt big things were coming in the future. Hamilton, one of the players for the Rebels, a freshman. So I guess the vibe from the locker room of the players is they didn't like the fact that their coach was fired.
No. If anything, the players just loved Marvin, and they still do. I mean, they love playing for him, and anytime you talk to a player about why he chose UNLV, it's always Marvin's the first person they mention. And even players who wind up committing elsewhere say, you know, that they really liked Marvin Menzies. So they were loyal to him. They clearly think the university made a mistake, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out from now. You know, I don't know if it'll be what it was 3 years ago when, you know, so many guys leave, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that happens.
How about players that may have already committed verbally that now are going to rescind that? Anything?
Yeah, there were two of them, two point guards, one from Southern California, another one from New Jersey, and now so they're reopening their recruitment. So so that's no surprise. I mean, they committed to Marvin Menzies. They didn't really commit to UNLV.
Mark Anderson, by the way, the insider for UNLV with the Review Journal. My thinking is this, okay? Desiree, the athletic director at UNLV, if she is going to make a move like this, I'm thinking to myself, okay, there must be a splash. We're hearing rumors already about Rick Pitino. You know, you hear those rumors in a distance. Have you heard anything that might solidify cutting Marvin out after 3 years with one left on his contract?
Well, I don't think she made that decision because she had someone lined up to bring in. I thought going into her decision whether to keep Marvin or not, that would be a big part of it. That it depends if she has someone pretty much locked in. And that wasn't the case. And she made the decision to cut ties with Menzies because she didn't think the long-term plan was there that he would get to the program where she wanted her to, wanted to get. So I think she's probably going to wind up hiring an up and coming mid-major coach, someone who's, you know, done a really good job at a little bit lower program and looks like maybe the next Chris Beard. I mean, that's what, you know, we got 3 years ago. Chris Beard is, they had that kind of coach, and of course then he left for Texas Tech.
Yeah, the thing is also when you start reading things, you look around, and you also look at the history of recent in the program for UNLV, the way Dave Rice was fired, mm-hmm. the way it happened with Marvin Menzies. In between that, you had a coach. You also had Beard. The way they put the committee together, Cronin, basically, from Cincinnati, Cronin, rather, you know, the way he used us as leverage to get more money. It just, and then we have an athletic change, athletic director change. It makes you wonder if, I don't know, I'm not going to jump ahead of myself, but are the right decisions and buttons being pushed about the basketball program?
Well, we'll find out. You know, it's if she hires someone who comes in and does a really good job, then you have to say yes. But if she hires someone and 3 years from now you're kind of in the same spot, then you think, well, maybe at least Menzies probably would have had the program further ahead by this point. So, you know, that's really the only way we're going to know is how it plays out. And, you know, it could work out really well, or it could be a disaster. I mean, it's just, you really don't know at this point.
You know, the crazy thing about it is, you look at the program, we always talk about how great the recruiting class is. You know, Dave Rice did a hell of a job recruiting. Behind that, before that, Lon Kruger, he just brought in different players that were transfers. His philosophy was entirely different. That philosophy worked because they went to the Sweet 16 and also the tournament on two other occasions. Now, moving forward, Dave Rice, the great recruiting, but then there was a problem, he can't coach in game. Then you give Marvin Menzies a shot, but I just don't think 3 years was enough time for him. I don't think he had a chance to finish licking the cream off the top of the cup to find out if he was the right guy or not.
No, I don't think you're wrong. And really, you're talking really 2 years, because the first year almost doesn't count, you know,
right.
As bad a situation as that was, as you mentioned earlier. I mean, he had home almost nothing. And he was just scrambling to get guys. So, you know, and then he had that great recruiting class after that. And I really thought he was going to build on that. And I was actually disappointed with his most recent recruiting class. Although they were pretty good players, I didn't think he brought in the dynamic kind of recruiting class I thought he would. And so that may be something she was looking at too. That he didn't really build on his previous recruiting class. And she saw down the future that she didn't think it was really going where she thought it should go. So, and you know, I don't know, I thought they're going to be more competitive next season, but you know, maybe finish top three, but you know, now they're probably going to be starting all over again.
That's crazy. Mark Anderson, he is the beat writer for the Review Journal for the Rebel, run a Rebel basketball program. All right, give us a setup and the scenario, timetable on the regions getting a committee together and things of that nature.
Well, the regions don't have anything to do with hiring anymore, so that's not even a factor in this. That was a big change from last time. So once Desiree Reed Francois makes a decision, it's made. She doesn't have to worry about going to the regions.
Okay, because I read something where they said they're going to put a committee together, a search committee.
They have a search committee, yeah, and that's mostly for background checks. It's really her search, but she wanted to put together, or she wanted to go through a search committee for to do the background on the candidates she's looking at, to make sure there wasn't something she was missing that would come back to bite them later.
Mark, for yourself, and following, basically being an insider all the way in, knowing what's going on, things of that nature, a coach that's available, if there's someone available that might be a good fit for this program, who would that be in mind for you?
You know, that's a tough one. You know, because there's so many factors. A lot of it depends on how much they can offer to pay, and you know, and they just can't compete with Power Five programs anymore as far as getting those kind of coaches. They have to, and I think she knows that. I think she knows that she's got to go look for the mid-major, you know, and I'm not saying this is one of the finals or one of the coaches, but like someone like at a Bucknell or Wofford, you know, or VCU, someone like that, where she feels like she can get that person, and that person can come in and build on success they're having where they are now, and take, you know, up another level.
How about a guy like a Steve Alford? He's been in the conference before. He kind of knows his way around. Would that be too much of a step backward coming from UCLA for him?
No, I think he would take the MLB job. I just don't think the interest is mutual.
Pardon me, could you repeat that?
I think he would take the MLB job, but I don't think MLB is all that interested in him.
Would you, in your opinion, do you think he's a guy that would be good for the program?
It's possible. I mean, he did well at New Mexico. You know, he knows the conference, and you know, if he was able to, and of course, New Mexico's had a pretty good history. But if he was able to do as well as he did in New Mexico, there's no reason why he couldn't do that here. But you know, I'm just hearing that he's not really among the guys they're considering.
That's weird. All right. $4.4 million is what he left with after UCLA cut him off. As far as the money, though, does UNLV, because Desiree said they have the money to hire a quality coach. Do they?
Well, yeah, I believe she raised it from somewhere, and that's something we haven't been able to find out where she got it from. But, yeah, I think, and how much that is, I don't know. Is it $1 million? Is it $2 million? Maybe it's somewhere in between. You know, it's my suspicion is it's probably closer to $1 million than $2 million. But even if it's $1 million, that still puts them right up there with UNR, which pays the highest right now. Eric Musselman makes $1 million a year, and he's the highest paid coach in the Mountain West, so that would put them at the top with UNR. So, so that should, you know, and if they're looking at these mid major schools, you know, and I'm not sure what the coaches make at these schools, but say they make $350,000, $400,000. You know, they have a chance to more than double their salary. So that's what would help make UNLV attractive to them as well.
And my final question is, where is the UNLV basketball program now compared to where it was before Marvin got there? Is it better? Has it dropped? Or your thoughts?
Well, it's better. Yeah, it's clearly better. I mean, it was a train wreck when he got here. So, you know, so he brought some stability to it, you know, and – you know, if he'd come back next season, they were only losing three, because Houston would have been back and they would have had to create another scholarship for him. So they would have had to find a player to move along, and he might have moved along another player or two in addition to that, so to bring maybe a JC guy or a grad transfer. So, but yeah, he was basically bringing back the same team, other than the two senior guards. He was bringing back basically the same team next season. And you got to figure, you know, with UNR losing some of its top players, and Fresno State probably will take a step back. The Rebels, you know, would have contended to be close to the top. You know, San Diego State probably would have been up there in Utah State, but the Rebels would have been at least in the conversation.
And it's going to get difficult as far as fanfare. For one, it dropped off last year anyhow, and the year before that. But now we've got not only the Golden Knights winning, but next year we got the Raiders coming to town.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, and that may be part of the equation, too, that she felt like, you know, he's kind of getting lost in the shuffle, and you can't wait around too long to try to get this program relevant again, and it really hasn't been relevant a long time. The Golden Knights have captured the city's imagination, of course, and the NFL, of course, is a whole different animal, where they're just going to, the Raiders get here, they're just going to overshadow everything, so... So, you know, then you'll be suddenly, you know, way back and, you know, the third team, you know, and back there in a distant third. So I think that was probably part of her thinking as well.
Hey, your work has never overshadowed. Good read in the RJ. Mark, appreciate the time, brother.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. It's good talking to you.
Hey, what can we look for in the Review Journal for your next article?
Well, I'm hoping to write a story today, just talking about this, what we're talking about now. I'm still trying to get some specifics done, but I'm hoping. We'll see. Maybe today or tomorrow. So.
And where can they find you on social media?
At Mark Anderson 65.
Appreciate you, bro.
All right. Thank you, C.
All right. Mark Anderson, he is the insider for the Review Journal for the Running Rebs. I agree. Marvin Menzies got shortchanged. Let him finish out the contract and then see. He had one more year on the contract. Let him do it. Okay, you 1 year was taken away, and I know he's not your guy. You didn't hire him, but let the guy complete the task. My God. All right, we're going to step away. When we get back, lighters up. Dope is next.
The 2019 Subaru Outback comes with road-gripping, standard, symmetrical all-wheel drive plus 32 miles per gallon. And it helps keep your journey safe with standard EyeSight Driver Assist technology for an extra set of eyes on the road. This may be our most adventurous Outback yet.
EPA estimated highway. Actual mileage may vary. EyeSight is a driver assist system that may not operate optimally under all driving conditions. Driver is responsible for safe and attentive driving. System effectiveness depends on many factors. See owner's manual.
SubaruLasVegas.com.
Symmetry Medical Spa wants you to have the big, luscious lips you have always dreamed about. In just 20 minutes, you can have the lips you always desired, and for a limited time, when you buy one filler, you get Botox for free. Yes, that's right. No gimmicks, no fine print. Buy one filler and get free Botox. Get the lips to match your beautiful body and watch the heads turn. Call now, 702-749-7575 to schedule your appointment, or visit SymmetryMedicalSpa.com. Symmetry Medical Spa. 749-7575. Te habla español.
You've been hearing me rave about Prop Swap, so listen to this. Prop Swap is giving away to everyone $25 a match play at the D. That's right. Come downtown to the D for the best March Hoops viewing party this Thursday through Sunday. Meet the Prop Swap girls, show them the Prop Swap app on your phone, and you'll receive $25 a match play as their special gift to you. Prop Swap is the new online marketplace to buy and sell active sports wagers. Come meet Prop Swap during the madness at the D.
For the best Southern fixin' and soul food in town, you gotta hit up TC's Rib Crib. 3655 South Durango, number 18. They have the best spare ribs in town. Fried chicken, been there, done that. Check out their award-winning catfish, also their candied yams, their collard greens. Kids eat free on Monday. TC Rib Crib. Give them a call at 702-451-RIBS. 702-451-7427. TC Rib Crib, the best soul food in Vegas.
License number NSCB 79415.
Have you ever heard of a tankless water heater? Yep, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a water heater without a tank. You say, well, how does that work? I say, I'm glad you asked. I'm Ken Goodrich. A tankless water heater is the only way to get infinite, endless hot water. Basically, it's hot water on demand. Imagine the sixth or seventh or tenth person to take a shower in the morning getting all the hot water they want, no matter how much they want. A tankless water heater is like having a goose that lays golden eggs. You'll be hot water rich for the rest of your life. And that space that used to house your inefficient, energy hog, antique water heater will become a brand new storage closet in your 21st century, state-of-the-art, high-tech house. And tankless water heaters come with longer warranties than standard water heaters because, well, they're just better.
Tankless water heaters installed by the Sunny Plumber. Go right now to thesunnyplumber.com.
And I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man.
Man, be careful with that, man. Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for... Man, that show is dope.
3:51 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. All right. This is also the final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Going to take you down to Frisco, Texas. Say what? Say what? Generally, if it's dope or up in your face, it's we're going Florida. To Florida.
Or the UK.
Well, this right here is two guys that hate each other's guts. Mending, of all places, at a go-kart arena. That's Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree. Okay, these two mofos, they hate each other. Remember the chain incident? Give me that chain! I mean, these guys are on the football field throwing blows, real true punches. Broncos and Raiders, take that. Rams and Raiders, I mean, beating the crap out of each other, right? So Aqib snatches the chain off. This is like a dude and his girl, you know? I mean, just that kind of domestic violence, but it's on a football field. Actually, I could say two girls fighting over a dude is what I meant to say. All right, where it's just hated. I hate you. Cat fight. No. Well, they ran into each other by coincidence at Cartland in Frisco, Texas. They both had their families with them and son. So they walked in, and they're like, uh-oh. People are seeing it, and they're like, are we going to have a family feud throw down here at this Cartland where the go-karts are? They actually hooked up and start talking. Mended their fights. The feud is over. Until next season when they play each other again. And
one little thing happens.
I guarantee
right?
you, it's all on again. But for the moment, they hit it and passed it. And to me, that's pretty dope.
Hey, that is dope. About time we get some positivity.
It's
kind of
crazy,
here.
Ain't it?
Very, yeah. See, that's what happens when you can be a grown man about something. All right, on to, so we talked about Florida. That's always where it is and what it's always about. Usually is pets, right? Animals.
Right.
This is a long one. I'm going to try to concise it. A guy in his apartment, basically, in New York. You know how it goes with the cities. There's all those, you know, packed into a bunch of apartment buildings. And basically, this guy is there. There's no one around, and there's a cat and two dogs knocking on his apartment door.
What?
Trying to get in. So the cat actually slipped in the apartment while he was trying, like while he was kind of looking out there, seeing what was going on in his front door. He's doing like a play-by-play on Twitter. I mean, I can't sit here and read it all because it's too much time, but it is hilarious. Apparently, they lived above the floor above him. His name's Brammer, which was a little. It was confusing to him. He thought they were stray, and they seemed to be well-groomed. And so he's going on for hours and hours, these dogs, like, and then they finally fell asleep. He took them in because he didn't know what to do.
Right.
And then the funny thing, too, is he's tweeting, and he's tweeting pictures of the apartment building, and he's like, also, does no one live here? Because he's doing this for hours trying to figure out what to do, who do I talk to, and there's just no one around. So he actually did, I think it's dope because he is dope for being a good Samaritan. He, you know, did what he had to do to get these dogs and cat through the trauma of not
knocking on the door.
Yeah, no, well, eventually some people came and they, you know, they connected the dots. It was like people had to go out and find the people. And
right.
Long story short, they the pets owners had gotten the pets returned and they are safe. There you go.
All right. St. Paddy Day's weekend. Now, do you throw them back, St. Paddy Day's?
I'm not a drinker personally.
At all.
I participate in the green part of St. Paddy's Day.
Dude, how about McDonald's and those green shakes, man? I got to get one today if they're still there. However, taking you to Boston, St. Paddy's Day on Saturday, right? So who do the Boston Bruins get before their game against Minnesota to come and do a team speech? Conor McGregor!
I'm very excited to see it. Like you said earlier there, formidable man. What height? 6'9", 6'4". Big man, man. I couldn't believe it. So
they may be big, but you're sort of strong.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'll sweep them once or twice. But I mean, I'm looking forward to an exchange happening. I know there's enforcers in this game. I know, combat is somewhat allowed and somewhat refereed and somewhat prepared for. From my understanding and from looking
okay,
at it.
Okay, we got the wrong cut. He was talking to the team and he's swearing and he's got his hands. He's doing the swinging the arms and all that. Okay, so you didn't get to get that, but this is the cool thing. It's St. Paddy's Day. Conor McGregor comes in and does a speech to your team in Boston, right? Where there's quite a few Irishmen. And they go out in overtime and they beat Minnesota, the Jackets, 2-1. I think that's pretty damn dope.
Very dope.
All right, we're about to run out. We got time and we got to run.
Let's leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. All right, folks. We'll get back to the basic show next Monday. We'll also be back up on Facebook Live at lvsportsnetwork.com. And I want to say thanks to our special guest, Mark Anderson, insider for the Running Rebels with the RJ. Also, Mike Lewis, the race and sportsbook director at the Sun Coast. I'm William Cesari. Remember, folk, chins tucked low, guards up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show Monday. It's Power Play. Power up. Power out.